Dear Heavenly Father, thank you very much. Father, it's always just such a blessing to be able to come forth to your word. Father, we know that we as men and women, the only ability that we have, as 1 Corinthians teaches us, is to plant seeds of thoughts or water seeds of thoughts that have previously been planted. You are the one and the one alone that can give that increase that we so earnestly desire. So, Father, I pray earnestly tonight that we come to your word with open hearts, open minds. Father, I just realize so vividly more and more that the more that you show me, and I believe that all of us can say that the more that you show us, the more that we grow in you, the more we realize how little it is that we know when it comes to the big picture. And that's such a blessing, Father. It's such a blessing to be able to have that never-ending growth, in learning about you and your mind and your will. Again, Father, I would like to reiterate that we come to your word with open hearts and open minds. I pray all these things in our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Alrighty. Well, guys, I would like to, I'm going to plan on teaching tonight is, for the most part, somewhat the same message that I taught the very first night that I had the opportunity to teach on here. I call these verses my go-to verse. We all have those go-to verses in our lives. I know that Gary's is, I believe it's Joshua 1:9, if I'm not mistaken. My wife, she has her go-to verse, Colossians 3:23. It gets her through her work day on a regular basis. I know Jason, he's got his go-to verse, Ephesians 3:20. So what I hopefully want to share with you tonight is a series of my go-to verses, those verses that I attach myself to very vividly and very much so on a regular basis. Now, every situation, every scenario calls for new aspects of the Word that we need to take into consideration, but nonetheless, I still think we have those verses, those key verses that are right there, ready and willing for us to work so that we can continue to abound in that new nature, that old nature, which we have to continue to fight every day of our lives. It surely never will cease to end that, you know, that battle end. So, hopefully, I'm sorry if I rambled too much there, but we're going to start off in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Usually I have a topical study, but all these verses are going to be on different subjects or different topics. But nonetheless, they're all, again, concepts when it comes to our walk. Taking these things and integrating them into our lives so that we may grow in that love, joy, and peace that we so earnestly desire. So, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. I'll go ahead and read that. It says, I'm sorry, Tony, I'm going to read 14 along with it. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." This verse has done such amazing things in my life. It has taught me so many, it has gotten me through so many obstacles. It has done such wonders. And I hope to share a few different aspects that the Lord has shared with me, or maybe shared with us all, that I hope to share with you. I wanted to mention this as a side point before I get going. I think a lot of these verses, if not all these verses, we all have come to know and really understand. But I just hope to, I think it's more just of a rekindling of those verses that is key. First of all, when it comes to this verse, that word forgetting does not mean as though the world teaches us today, which is though we are supposed to somehow no longer, as though those things no longer exist. That's impossible. This means to no longer care for. So therefore, when we go through our lives in that the past keeps creeping up and say, we'll use, for example, those sad, sorrowful things that have happened in our past lives that Satan would love for us to contemplate and live our lives in. We need to no longer care for those things. We need to separate ourselves from them as soon as they come about. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that we have been given that opportunity to choose on what we choose to think upon. But this is one key that I have really attached myself to, because it never stops. It never ceases to end when it comes to that past wanting to creep up and drag you down. I also think of the concept, this may kind of sound silly, but I think we can all attach ourselves to this. It's amazing, even in a study such as tonight, what your mind or my mind would be so focused on that new nature and the things of Christ, and then bam, all of a sudden out of the clear blue, some awful thought just comes creeping up. It is so incredibly important, so incredibly crucial that the Lord teaches us here that we need to no longer care for those things. Another thing that this verse has taught me, it has taught me that when it comes to, I believe, pride getting the best of us, which is such a scary thing, such a powerful lust of the flesh that we need to always keep in mind to continue to fight against. Man wants to naturally build himself up in a pyramid of the things that he has done for the Lord Jesus Christ in his past. What a scary, scary place to be. Again, we need to no longer care for those things. We need to set those things aside so that we may be able to reach unto those things which are before, so that we may be able to continue to be as effectual servants and to be able to bring as much glory unto the Father as possible and be able to live that life after His will and not our own. What this also teaches is that it says we are to reach forth unto those things which are before, sharing that we are to live in the moment. Therefore, also the future. I love how the world wants to teach us that we should have these 5 and 10 year plans. Well, I have nothing, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you got a good, solid game plan from day one, from this moment until tomorrow, and then the next day and the day after. And if somehow, some way, miraculously, we work ourselves up to 5 years from now, so be it. Amen. But we honestly can say to ourselves, we have absolutely no idea what's going to happen 30 seconds from now, 10 seconds from now. We may have a good idea, we may have a thought process, but truly, the future is unknown. That is not where we're to live. We are to live in the here and now. What happens when we live in the moment? The more that we live in the moment, the more that when it comes to situations, opportunities to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, we will see those situations and scenarios. We'll be able to grab a hold of them and see them clearly and be able to attach ourselves to them. What also naturally comes is a sense of, I believe, awareness. When we live in the moment, we become aware of our surroundings, sight, sound, touch, everything that is going on right here, right now. It is so incredibly crucial that we live like that to the best of our abilities every moment of our lives. Why? Because when we do, that peace, that joy, that I would specifically like to stay focused, I would think on the peace. Surely joy and love would come, but that peace, that peace that we long for. Life can become very redundant. We all have our jobs that we go to. Those jobs can become very redundant, no matter what the situation or scenario. But if we live in the moment and we live in the here and now and we are aware with everything that is going on, it does not get old. Everything stays afresh and anew. But if we start to not choose to live in that sense of awareness, living in the moment as Christ asks us to do here, we become almost in a state of a subconscious action, just going through the motions, missing all kinds of opportunities, all kinds of scenarios and situations so that we may be able to, again, attach ourselves to that new nature so that we may be able to continue to live in that life. I think of a scenario, I like using an example, maybe it's a silly one, but me and my wife talk about it on a regular basis. It's absolutely amazing how on a beautiful, sunny, clear day when you're driving down the highway and there's all these accidents. But what happens if every single human being, obviously you would have to be saved to be able to have this opportunity, but and to be able to come to know the mystery and understand it and be spiritually mature so you can discern these things. But nonetheless, if people were aware of their surroundings, they would know who is in front of them, who is behind them, what speed they are going. They would not be focused on their phones and just going from point A to point B. I just use that as an example, and now we can expound that onto endless examples. It is just so incredibly crucial, and it has brought such peace to my life, to forget those things which are behind and focus on the here and now. Our next verse that I would like to go to is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, please. This verse has, though it's a beautiful simplicity, I think that maybe that's why it has done such wonders again in my life. And I say that because that's why I wanted to use these verses. Now, again, maybe these verses are the exact same verses for you as far as your go-to verses, or maybe not. But nonetheless, my purpose tonight is to share, to show how I believe we all need those go-to verses. We need those verses that are there at the cusp, ready and willing at any moment so that we can continue to fight that old nature. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things honest, whatsoever things just, whatsoever things pure, whatsoever things lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if any virtue and if any praise, think on these things." So now, based upon Philippians 3:13, we are no longer caring for those things which are behind. We are focused on the here and now. We are living in the moment and are aware of our surroundings. And now, while doing that, we need to stay focused on the things that the Lord Jesus Christ would have us focus on. Those things which are pure, lovely, of good report, of virtue, of praise. Where do we find these things? We find them in His Word. This is the mind of Christ. I always like saying, and I understand why they use the red letter through the Gospels and some of Paul's epistles and such, but this whole Bible is the red letter. This is all the mind of Christ. This is where we find those things which are lovely, pure, of good report, of virtue, of praise. And the more that we put those things into play, and the more that we practice and focus on those things, the more that we continue step by step, are able to grow in the mind of Christ and attach ourselves to these things more and more so that we may be able to continue to fill ourselves overabundantly, overflowing with things of virtue, of praise, so that when it comes to this world, it's not even, we come to realize and know that it's nothing that we need to concern ourselves with, nor do we want to concern ourselves with. I love the old statement that Gary shared with me, if you're looking around, you're going down. We need to keep our minds on the things which are above. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 is a sideline verse, but this is the conclusion verse to everything that when it comes to, for us, specifically for us as mystery believers, when it comes to those, obviously there is all kinds of practical application throughout the Bible that we can find, but those things which are keenly for us, Paul tells us, or Christ through Paul, I should say, tells us in Philippians 4:9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. What are do's? Philippians 4:8 is a do. Philippians 3:13 is a do. When we are doers, we all know, every one of us can say here tonight, for I know that in my heart that we all have lived this life, that when this does happen, when we do those things, that peace that passeth understanding, that fills us with that longevity, that continual peace that the world searches after, but chooses not to look in the only place where it's found, through His Word. When we do those things, that statement is just so incredibly true. That peace will be with us. The next verse that I attach myself to, that I believe we all have as well, but nonetheless, hopefully just rekindling thoughts. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. So now, just to reiterate, Philippians 3:13, we are no longer focused on the things which are behind. We forget those things. We no longer care for them. We are focused on the here and now. We are aware of the moment at hand. We are focused on those things which are lovely, of good report, virtue of praise. And as those things continue to creep up in our mind that are sad, sorrowful, we cut them loose and we focus on Philippians 4:8. But surely there is no doubt that I have had it many times in my life, even such as tonight. I think we can all agree, as far as Tuesday nights, it's always quite anxious. It sends a lot of anxiety because there's such a long duration between our studies and teaching. So it kind of feels like you're fresh and new. I kind of feel like I'm preaching to myself as well, in a sense, you know, and I think we all deal with that. But nonetheless, those things can get overwhelming. We can get full of anxiety. What do we do with that anxiety? Philippians 4:6 tells us. Be careful, or in other words, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, letting your requests be made known unto God. And I'm sorry, I need to read verse 7. And again, and that peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When it comes to prayer, the things that we would imagine to be the big things in our lives are peanuts to the Lord. Those things which we think are too little are incredibly important to Him. We need to share all things, and we need to bring them forth in a form of supplication, a form of purity, of meaningfulness, not lip service, but in truth bringing those things unto the Lord with thanksgiving. I love Gary. I was talking to him earlier, and he was just talking to me about how he thanks the Lord for all these little things, and I say amen to that. Thank Him for all things in all areas. The more we do it, again, the more habitual it becomes. And it just becomes more and more of a natural thing, and we are doing, again, Philippians 4:9, the things that the Lord asks us to do. Another thing with this verse. What is another beautiful, wonderful thing about prayer? When is there ever a time when we will ever be more honest than when we come to prayer with our Heavenly Father? He knows past, present, and future. He knows us better than we know ourselves, so many times over that it's beyond our comprehension. Why would we ever think to lie or deceive or do anything to that degree? So, and I only mention that in the aspect because it's that much more of a blessing, because we are just, it makes us so honest when we pray to Him. These things I believe that, again, we see with the walk, they all intertwine, they all intermix. It's like, almost to me, I always like using the analogy form of a spider web effect. As we continue to walk, and when we think of Ephesians chapter 6 and putting on the whole armor of God, when we continue to build ourselves up in these verses and these concepts, we continue to put on that armor, and it continues to be strengthened more and more, so that we may be able to continue to stand as lights in this darkness, in this world of darkness. Because it is surely dark. It takes not very much to see that. Everywhere you go, anything that this world has to offer is almost nothing but entertainment. Anything to I would say, satisfy the mind, so that one doesn't have to deal with themselves and deal with reality. Satan has done a wonderful job at confusing things, complicating things, entertaining the world. But nonetheless, hopefully I'm not getting off track too much. It's just that much more important, going back on that concept as far as us being lights. And I think that we all agree, I think we've all mentioned it over and over again. When are we truly lights? People notice us as being truly lights in this world when we are just walking that walk. They look at us and wonder why, what is our purpose? It makes no sense to them. And that's so beautiful. Anyway, hopefully I didn't ramble too much there. Please come with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 verse 13. It says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I love how black and white this is. If any man have a quarrel against any. This verse has done such wonderful things in my life, and that's why I want to share it. I have realized more and more that, kind of silly, but I think we can use it as a good analogy. I like the old Garth Brooks song where he says, and I had this keenly locked in my mind, but he says, we buried the hatchet but left the handle sticking out. I've realized that as I continue to attach myself to this verse more and more, I continue to realize that more and more. That in some situations where I honestly had maybe convinced myself that I had forgiven, I had not completely forgiven. I had still had some sort of a grudge, some sort of an attachment to it. It is so incredibly important that we deal with all of those circumstances. And the quicker we deal with them, the better it is. I realize that in my life. Forgiveness, it can be an incredibly difficult thing if it is drug out. But if it's dealt with swiftly, if it is dealt with quickly, it seems to be a much, much more, simplistic action. Forgiveness. I think of my life as far as when I haven't forgiven somebody who has done me wrong. Who it affected. It affected me. It affected my relationship with my Lord and Savior. It affected my relationship with those closest to me. It didn't affect the person, if anything, which is still a vengeful thing to say, but just to use it as an example, the last person it affected was the one who I had lack of forgiveness towards. So therefore, again, how crucial it is to forgive. Whatever it takes. We are all sinners. I love how Jason gave me that example, and I've studied it out and showed it out myself, that when Christ came to the earth, He made sin inwardly. So therefore, me as a married man, if I were to look at a woman and lust after her, I have now committed adultery. Why has the Lord done that? To make us all realize that we are sinners, we are in need of a Savior, we are in need of Him. We all fall short. That is not the point. The focus is that though we may fall short, do we continue to fight the good fight? And forgiving is crucial. It is so crucial. It is that it just gets you a little worked up. A recent situation, by the way. I had realized that I had not forgiven my father. I had not forgiven him because I was angry. I was angry that he didn't see certain truths and he would not let go of certain things. But the beautiful thing is that I can truly tell you that I attached myself to this verse. I truly forgave him. And today was one of the biggest stepping stones I've seen us make in a long time. He honestly came to the belief and full, I believe, conclusion that though he had taught all his life that communion is not for us today. It is something that was set aside, and anyway, it was a beautiful enlightenment. But that I believe that wouldn't have happened if it had not been for that forgiveness. How can true love, how can the true love of Christ work effectually in our lives if we have not truly forgiven? We're going to go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. This is one of my wife's favorite verses. This is her go-to verse. I'm going to read 22 through 24. And then before I go into it, if we could, I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read 5 through 7 because it perfectly is cohesive with these thoughts, and I think it touches on a few different aspects as well. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in the singleness of heart fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. My wife attaches herself to this verse on a regular basis at work. It gets her through a lot of tough situations, keeping the Lord at the forefront of her purpose. Again, if we could go to Ephesians chapter 6 and read 5 through 7, and then I'll go into this hopefully a little bit more. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. What does the Lord search after? We see it in Romans, we see it here, we see it, where is it at? In Thessalonians, we see it all over the place. What is the one place the Lord searches? He searches our hearts. Lip services are relevant to Him. The only thing He cares about is our purpose at the forefront. What is our purpose with what we're doing? Now, when it comes to those previous verses, such as, say, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, at the forefront of our purpose to do that has to be a servant of Christ. That has to be the forefront. Now, yes, as far as when it comes to, say, family members and situations and scenarios that come along with that, the beautiful thing that I like to mention is that if we are serving the Lord at the forefront, all of those things will work themselves out. I will be the husband I need to be. Excuse me, I will be, hopefully someday, the father I need to be. I will be the man of the Lord, in sense, if that's the best way to put it, that I need to be. And when I do that, naturally my marriage will work to the good. It will work itself out. Whereas other, in sense, what happens, I think, with the world, or even with ourselves that we get lost with, is we'll focus on our marriage at the forefront. I'll put my wife at the first forefront of my purpose, putting the Lord secondary. And that never works. It has never worked once. And it can't work. The Lord's path, it may be narrow, but it is simplistic. And the more mature we get, the more we are able to spiritually discern, the more narrow we see that it is, but the easier it is, that path of righteousness to bring glory unto the Father. But again, this is so incredibly crucial. I have learned the purpose of my heart to be something that I have attached myself to, and I regurgitate it in my mind. What is my purpose? Why am I doing what I'm doing? To the best of my ability, every moment of my life. Do I fall short? Yes, I do. Do I continue to fight that good fight? Yes, I do. And I believe that we all do that. And I believe that's the only thing the Lord cares about in that circumstance. He mainly, I believe, cares about, are we continuing to fight that good fight? Are we continuing to strive to stand for Him and in Him? Another verse that my wife loves, and I would love to go to, if we could, is Romans chapter 8. I think that this plays perfect. There's only a couple other verses that I'm going to go into. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, to go along with what we were just talking about, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We all know that that's so incredibly crucial, that the church always wants to leave out, that all things work together for the good for them who love God. We choose as this group to continue to asphyxiate or lock ourselves into the will that the Lord has for our lives. As we continue to do that, that is true love to Him, I believe. Also, love, I think to love the Lord is to suffer for Him. We know that that comes along when it comes to spiritual growth. Every time we grow spiritually, I believe we have to, for a short term, suffer that loss. Why? Because we have lived our life in a certain direction, in a certain way. And now all of a sudden, we've learned something new and we have to now change it. We have to tweak it a little bit. Which short term, that change is always difficult. We will always suffer that loss, I believe. And that's just one aspect of suffering that loss. But nonetheless, going back to that, hopefully I didn't ramble there too much either, but going back to that purpose, if the purpose of our hearts is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, though we may fall to the wayside, though we may fall short, if we continue to fight that good fight, continue to love the Lord, all things will work to the good. And our lives will be filled continuously with that overflowing of that peace, that love, that joy that we so earnestly desire. I would like to go back one last time to Philippians. I kind of rushed myself through this a little too quickly, but that's okay. Usually I go too long. Maybe tonight I go a little short. There's so many other verses, obviously, that we could attach ourselves to, folks, and we all know that. All I hope to share with you tonight are the verses that I have really locked myself to. Now there are many others, obviously, we know. I mean, 2 Timothy 2:15, so incredibly crucial. So many other verses, incredibly crucial. But when we put all these things together, when we forget, and I don't mean to regurgitate, but putting this together, what a lovely cohesion, if that's the correct word. Forgetting those things, we no longer care for those things which are behind. We are focused and aware of the here and now. We are staying focused on those things which are lovely, of good rapport. when things get too much for us, too anxiety, or we have things that are Thanksgiving, we bring all those things to the Lord in prayer. During all these scenarios and situations, every moment of our lives, we will deal with many people that will do us wrong. We need to always keep in mind is, thank the Lord Almighty working through Jason that He has taught me very clearly. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jason. Again, Ephesians chapter 6. We do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the darkness, or the rulers of the darkness of this world. And we, I believe as mystery saints, have a much, in certain ways, if not many ways, have a much bigger battle to fight. It just seems that darkness wants to close itself in on you in a hurry if you let it. Nonetheless, we do not fight against flesh and blood. So therefore, again, that helps us, and I wanted to mention that as far as forgiveness. I also wanted to mention one last thing with forgiveness that I did forget, but I think is incredibly important. We need to learn to forgive ourselves as well as the Lord has forgiven us. We make mistakes. I've made mistakes. I do things that, you know, that you may regret. Though it may be small, and though may not be small, whatever the situation or scenario, it still is something that we need to constantly keep in focus that don't let us drag ourselves down as far as not, in sense, and hopefully that's not a silly thought process, but not forgiving ourselves. We need to forgive and realize that we are sinners and that we fall and we fail and we fall short. But again, if we lock ourselves to those verses, all things will work together for the good. We will continue to abound in that new nature and so on and so forth. But nonetheless, and again lastly, we're living in the here and now. We're aware of the moment. We're focused on those things which are lovely, of good report, virtue of praise. If something becomes too overwhelming, we bring it to the Lord, and we always stay focused on what our purpose is and why we are doing what we are doing. When we go to work, when we serve, in sense, how the Lord uses our masters, our bosses, are we serving that boss as a man pleaser to stimulate his eye? Are we doing it to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? And again, we can take that on exponentially. Hopefully I didn't ramble with too many things. I guess I will leave us with this one last verse because it is incredibly important. It is Philippians 3:15. And I'm sorry, I did forget about it, but nonetheless, it's a very important verse that goes along with all of these things that I think that gives you a lot of peace. Let us therefore as many be perfect or be mature, be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. What a merciful... What a merciful Savior we have. That if we're falling to the wayside, if we're grieving the Holy Spirit, He will reveal those. He will unveil those things to us so that we see them. I don't mean to get so, sometimes just gets the best of you. But nonetheless, the reason why it gets you worked up is because of how amazing His word can work in your life and how much it can really touch your heart. So let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer as we close here. Father, I thank You. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for these folks that are diligent Bible studiers that attach themselves to these verses, these concepts, because we are all here and I believe that each and every one of us are here and we want and will, our will is to serve You. Father, I pray earnestly as I always hope to pray, that we always realize that when it comes to these situations that we are able to come together one with another, that again we as men are we only can plant seeds of thoughts or water seeds of thoughts that have been previously planted. It is so incredibly crucial that we all continue to take all these types of thoughts and whatever types of thoughts to you in our one-on-one relationship with you, so that we may gain that increase that we so earnestly desire that only you can give. Father, again, you are such a blessing. You are so merciful, so loving, so gracious, so kind. I thank you for all these things in our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Thank you very much, guys. It's always a blessing to share.